Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. So we have spent a lot of today talking about what if the Titans lose to Malik on Sunday. You heard in Ian's update that Jordan Love is questionable for the game. They're not going to play Jordan Love. I would say 5% chance Jordan Love plays, 95% chance it's Malik Willis. And you know what? That's what we want, damn it. We want to see, is this team so bad that they're going to lose to Malik Willis, the same Malik Willis that was going to be the number three quarterback on this team? And I am convinced the answer is no. Now, I used to work with someone, as you all know, that would never take a game for granted. And with this Titans team, I don't think you can take a game for granted. But here's why I have already guaranteed that the Titans are going to win on Sunday if Malik Willis is the quarterback. And Brian Callahan didn't hint at it, but I think he kind of got caught with his hand in the cookie jar on it earlier in the week. And it's because the only way the Packers are going to win is if two things happen. One, the Packers run the ball effectively. Or two, Will Levis gives them the game. And I am far more convinced that it is likelier that Will Levis will give them the game than it is that the Titans are going to let the Green Bay Packers run on them. You know, the old man used to have a saying, which was, I can always stop the run. I'll just bring down one more than you can block. Josh Jacobs is a very good running back, but there's no way on earth that he should be allowed to run it 30 times the way he did last Sunday against Indianapolis. If you watch the Indianapolis-Green Bay game, you'll know Indianapolis's game plan on both sides of the ball, but specifically on defense, was downright atrocious. Even Belichick criticized it, saying, I mean, at some point, Indy's got to do something different or it's going to be the same song and dance with them getting the football run all over them. And that takes us back to Malik. All Malik Willis can do is manage the game and maybe make one or two nice throws the way he did against Indianapolis. But they're going to have to run the ball 50 times or so in order to win a mano-a-mano game. That is if you don't give them any points. That is if you don't allow a punt to be blocked and return for a touchdown. That is if you don't just roll the football on the ground to the other team. You will win. And considering that the Titans have been through so much over the last 2 weeks, you know they're hearing it. I mean, Will Levis told us. Some family got his cell phone, which I think is kind of sad, but that's the world we live in. That's the two-way street of being the starting quarterback. He's hearing it. He knows. Cole Anderson, the special teams coach yesterday, got up there, kind of put his hand in the air, and he was like, yeah, we got to figure it out on these punts. Let me say this. They get another punt blocked, he should be fired. They get another punt blocked this season, he should be fired. But if they get another punt blocked on Sunday, three games in a row, pack up. I'll send TriStar moving over to the house for you. But I say all of this because, again, I am certain the Titans know exactly what to do. Because Jeffrey Simmons said yesterday, like, hey, you ain't going to run the ball in Tennessee Titans. Again, I would have preferred Jeff keep that to himself. But Brian Callahan was asked about his corners. Listen to the question Terry McCormick asks about the corners and stacking the box against Josh Jacobs. And listen to where Brian Callahan took the question with his answer.
How much is your corner play and the fact that those guys can, you know, stick with a guy, allow you to maybe load the box more when you need to against a guy like Jacobs?
I mean, those guys have played well for us so far. I think even the encouraging part is we have lots of room for improvement as well there. And I love what they bring. They do everything that we've hoped they would do when they came in here. And I think that's the cool thing about the players we brought in free agency is that they've all come in and play the roles we envisioned for them at the level that we thought they would, which isn't always the case in free agency with Calvin and Tony and Lloyd and Cheeto and Legarius and Quandre. Those guys have all really come in and filled really roles at a high level for us. And that's encouraging. And I really think that those guys give us some flexibility in the secondary too, because they're who they are. We can do a lot more things schematically when you got corners that can go cover.
Oh, do you notice he not once talked about loading the box, Josh Jacobs? In fact, the way he answered it, Ian, can we play it again? I want you to hear, you can tell he does this thing where he kind of stops to think, where he goes, I mean, and then goes, because he's thinking about what to say. Play the question in the very beginning again.
How much does your corner play in the fact that those guys can, you know, stick with a guy, allow you to maybe load the box more when you need to against a guy like Jacobs?
I mean, those guys have played well for us so far.
There you go.
Even the
that little pause and the I mean, the pause and the I mean, those guys have played well for us. Now let me tell you about all the guys we went out and net. Let's talk about Calvin Ridley, and let's talk about Quandre Diggs, and let's talk about all the guys, Tony Pollard, all the guys we've had. Now play the question, Ian, and then just end it before Callahan talks. I'm going to answer for him.
How much does your corner play in the fact that those guys can, you know, stick with a guy, allow you to maybe load the box more when you need to against a guy like Jacobs?
100%. That's the game plan. And Brian Callahan knows it. So Terry McCormick asks him straight up, you know, basically asks him the game plan. But Terry knows it. Like, Terry's like, so, you know, you got these corners. And, yeah, they've got Jaden Reed and they've got Romeo Doubs. But you're paying L'Jarius Sneed $20 million. Can you just stick L'Jarius Sneed on Romeo Doubs and just stick Chinobe Awuzie on Jaden Reed, although I don't think Awuzie can run with Reed, but again, you'll have safety help, and just play that too high safety that Mel Kiper hates. Can we just do that and load the box with all the guys, with Murray and Jones and Sweat and Simmons, and just stuff up the run with Josh Jacobs? The answer is yes. That's the game plan, because the Titans know if that was Jordan Love out there, or if that was Aaron Rodgers 2 years ago out there, they couldn't run that game plan. Because if it's Aaron Rodgers, Aaron's going to make you pay. You single up his receivers, it doesn't matter how good your corners are, Aaron will make you pay. But we all know Malik Willis, and we know Malik Willis ain't Aaron Rodgers, and they know it too. And Green Bay knew it. And it's a shame. Gus Bradley in Indianapolis should be fired. Indy Ben, if you're listening, he should be fired for not knowing that last week. The Titans know. The way Green Bay wins the game is run, 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 punt, run, 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 punt, run, 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 punt. That's what they're going to try to do. So what you do is you take the big boys and you stick them up there and you say, all right, you're not going to run, 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 punt. And if you are, you're going to punt to us. That's it. But you're not going to get big plays. It's going to be three downs right to me. And I'm sticking the corners right there on the receivers, and I am daring, I am begging Malik to beat me. Not for Malik to make a play to win the – no, no, no. I am begging Malik to win the game. That's the game plan. And I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I've watched enough Malik Willis football – to just know that Malik can't do it. Malik cannot win games on his own. We don't think Levis can win games on his own right now. And Levis is better than Malik, even though he hasn't played that way so far this year. So, yeah, that's the game plan. And that's why they're going to win on Sunday. Their backs are against the wall. Levis knows he's made two stupid mistakes that have cost the Titans two games, so he's not going to do that. He's going to play safer football on Sunday. Maybe safe football that's a little uncomfortable. Like, where it's like, dude, take a shot. Like, dude, have some marbles. He's not going to. Because he knows. He's like, the only way we lose is if I lose the game for us. The punt team is going to max protect on every single punt. They're not getting a punt blocked. I mean, if they get a punt blocked, Cole Anderson should be fired, and he knows it. Like, he knows if they get a punt blocked and they lose, and Brian Callahan shows up in his office on Monday morning and fires him, he shouldn't be surprised by that. So they're not going to get a punt blocked. So it might be close, because it might be run, 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 punt on one side and run, 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 punt on the other. But the Titans are not going to let Malik Willis just run the ball 53 times on them. And even if they were stupid enough to let that happen, they now have seen the Indy tape, so they're definitely not going to let that happen. Which is why I am convinced, I keep talking about if Malik wins, it would be so catastrophic, because outside of you literally pooping the game away, I do not see any instance in which you lose. Any instance. So I feel very passionate that when Malik plays on Sunday, you should win. And you will win. Because they're not going to move the ball. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025, here on the program if you want to weigh in. Again, that's 615-737-1025. Now, the other side of the coin is if they lose. Because while it would be kind of shocking for the Titans, for Will Levis to make a boneheaded mistake a third week in a row, it was kind of shocking for Will Levis to do it a second week in a row. While it would be shocking for them to get another punt blocked, it's kind of shocking that they got a punt block last week. So if they do, then I think there's some questions that have to be asked around here. We'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 1025-1063. The game, 615-737-1025. Hey, be sure to join us for the pregame show, the award-winning pregame show. Be sure to join us this Sunday, 9:30, live at Bon Jovi's. So here's the deal. JBJ's on Broadway. Here's the deal. They told us they own JBJ's and Hank Williams Jr.'s bar. Hank Williams opens at 10. JBJ's opens, I believe, at 9. And they opened JBJ's earlier because they want Titan fans out to JBJ's. They're okay with Packer fans over at Hank's. Come on out, 9 a.m., 9:30, I should say, when the pregame show starts. And we will be there, and we will be having a blast and hanging out. Me, Derek, and Chris will all be there. But again, come on out, because they want Titan fans to be there. And because it's the Packers, a very popular team, I mean, there's a legitimate chance that it could be overrun by cheeseheads if the Titan fans don't show up early. So we expect to see you guys there at 9:30. The award-winning pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon.
In playing quarterback, there's criticism that comes, obviously, when things don't go well. Do you find a way to just kind of shut all that out, things on social media or TV, when those types of moments happen?
Yeah, I guess the thing I'm actually doing today, like, get a new phone number. I don't know how my number got out there to the fans, but I gotten a lot of texts, so that'll be nice to shut that part of life behind me. And I haven't opened social in the last couple of weeks, so I just think that's the healthiest way to go about it. And I don't want to or care to see any things that people say about me. And I'm just going to keep chugging along, regardless of what they say. So, yeah, but it sucks that the world is the way that it is, and looking forward to having some privacy.
That was Will Levis talking about, hey, you know, I got people calling my phone. I don't know how. But the message is clear. He's hearing it. The question was, you know, do you hear all the talk, and whether it's TV, radio, social media, you know, do you hear the talk? And he's like, no, I keep my blinders on, but I am getting a new phone because everybody's calling and texting me about how I suck. So he is hearing it. So I don't think the Titans are going to lose on Sunday. I think he knows he's feeling it. I think the special teams knows they're feeling it. And again, I think it would take a cataclysmic disaster. Not that we haven't seen those so far this year. But I think it would take a cataclysmic disaster in order for them to lose. And I just don't see three of those happening in three, or really six, if there's another special teams and a Levis, three of those happening in three consecutive weeks. But if they do, there's going to be two talks around here that are going to be had. And I'm not saying, when I say, you know, oh, you know, this is what the talk's going to be, I'm not saying this is what the talk on Stillman and Company is going to be, though it might be. You guys know me. I'm not a chess player. I'm a checkers guy. So on Monday, you'll know how I feel. But I don't know how I'll feel on Monday. But if they lose this game to the Packers, there's going to be two discussions that are going to be had. Number one is, do you bench the quarterback? That's going to be a question that they're already having it around the country. I do think it's kind of hilarious that the benching the quarterback discussions, I've noticed this now. I've done this long enough now to know. Those happen around the country more than they happen locally. And I don't know if that's every market, but that's definitely this market. Because there was a lot more talk in 2019 about benching Mariota and going to Tannehill than there ever was. It was nationally than there was locally, because here we were all told by Robinson and Vrabel, no, Marcus Mariota is the starting quarterback. And Ryan is the backup. And Ryan only gets in if Marcus gets hurt. And here we're all told Levis is the guy, and they believe in Levis, and Amy believes in Levis. And yet, they're not, I mean, they're everywhere across the country. They're talking about, yeah, when do they go to Mason Rudolph? So if you lose to Malik Willis, a guy that you gave away for nothing, for a ham sandwich, because you had Will Levis and Mason Rudolph, then there's going to be a lot of talk about should they switch quarterback. And I think there's going to be a lot of talk locally about should they switch the quarterback. But I don't think they're going to do that unless Levis does another stupid thing like he did the first 2 weeks. And then I do wonder, like with Brian Callahan at that point, are you three strikes and you're out or what? The second question or discussion that's going to be had around here if they lose this one is, do we need to be talking about tanking? Now, I have a hard time with the discussion on tanking only because, A, it's September 20th and tanking for an entire year? I mean, that would just be so painful. Like, they weren't tanking last year or the year before that. They were 7-3 at one point in 2022. And that year was painful. So, A, tanking is painful. And B, there's not really a quarterback, I don't think, to really get excited about. Carson Beck, I'm not sold on that being that good. Shedeur Sanders, I don't want any part of. And Quinn Ewers I like, but he's always hurt. The good quarterbacks, I mean, Arch Manning to me is kind of the guy, the next ha ha ha. And Arch Manning is at least one, probably 2 years away. Because it wouldn't surprise me if Arch stays for 4 years at Texas. So then it's like, with all the money that's spent, what do you do? And this, again, I brought this up when Brian Callahan kept talking on Sunday about how the mistakes that Will Levis made were inexcusable and unacceptable, and he knows better, and, you know, we're going to this, and we're going to... And I was like, well, what are you going to do about it? Because if you don't do anything other than just get mad about it, then there's really... How can you guarantee it won't happen again? And, I kept asking that question, not like... I'm not asking the question saying what you should do in the question. I'm asking, what do you do? And if they lose to Malik at home, that is a, what do you do? Do you change the quarterback? Do you try to win with these veterans like Tony Pollard, like Lloyd Cushenberry, like DeAndre Hopkins? Like, do you try to win with those guys? Or do you just try to pack it up and saying, hey, let's try to get Quinn Ewers and see if he can come in here. One texter says, can we guarantee, and our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, can we guarantee that the Titans defense turns over Green Bay? They shouldn't have to. But yeah, I kind of feel like they probably should. You know, they feel like there's enough time in there. I really do. Where, like, I've heard enough about how good the defense is. Let's turn somebody over. And quite frankly, I think they've heard a lot about how it's time to turn somebody over. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We got a bunch of your phones to get to. Plus, the Titans have a problem on their hands, especially if the losing continues. They have a problem on their hands that is now bigger than a Jared Stillman stirring the pot problem. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Let's talk about Window Nation. That's right. Did you know that most of your home's cold AC this summer leaked out through your old windows? Have you looked at your bill as it skyrockets during the summer and said to yourself, gosh, that's so high? I know the answer is yes, because I've done the same. And if that's the case, get those old windows replaced. Because with the nice weather this September, it's a great time to replace them with energy-efficient ones and save money on heat this winter. So who would I call? I'd call the experts at Window Nation. I don't know about the other companies that do this stuff, but I do know Window Nation. I know those guys through and through. They are honest. They will take great care of you. And not only that, they care about the value they're adding to your home And I know this because I've used Window Nation, and I've told my friends to use Window Nation. So please, if you're replacing your windows, give Window Nation a try. Plus, for every two windows you'll buy, you'll get two windows free. Buy two windows, get two windows free. Buy 100 windows, I assume, get 100 windows free. There's no limit on how much you could save, and you could save more with zero down and no interest or payments for 24 months. So schedule a fast, no-obligation in-home estimate now with the pros at Window Nation by calling 866-90-NATION or visiting windownation.com. That's 866-90-NATION, windownation.com.
From assistant general manager to president of football operations, seems to me like a pretty nice jump here from year one to year two. What does your new job entail?
Yeah, it is. It's a great opportunity for me. You know, I look at my role as just I'm here to help bring our entire football staff together and make sure they have everything they need to succeed in their respected roles. And so I'm involved in a lot of things. You know, my background is as an evaluator, a scout, worked on the salary cap. So I still help Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan in those areas. But my day-to-day responsibilities deals with cap management, data analytics, involved in football information systems, communications, just everything you can think of when it comes to the football operations.
There you go. That was Chad Brinker talking during the preseason game about what his actual job is. And I'm not sure anybody actually still knows what his job is. But I brought this up at the time. When they announced their new organization structure, which the Titans do every year, it feels like. Like, it wasn't that long ago that Amy Adams Strunk announced that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel were getting matching contract extensions. It was not long ago. It was January of 2022. We're in the middle of 2024. It wasn't that long ago. Then they changed the management structure to Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon, the collaboration. Nobody's in charge. We're all working together. This is going to be great. This is, and I said when that happened, I remember because Caroline was on the midday show talking like, you know, I mean, basically acting like the Titans were hiding the truth from us. And I said, they're not hiding the truth from us. They're telling us the truth. They're telling us, like, there is nobody in charge. Amy has said, hey, you two work it out. And I said, that only works if you win. Because if you win, then it's like, oh, no, Mike's in. You're coaching them great. And oh, no, Ren, you're picking them great. But if you lose, it becomes he wanted Andre Dillard. No, he wanted Aaron Brewer. No, he wanted to draft a quarterback. I wanted to draft a good player. He wanted to draft the quarterback. I didn't want to do that. And, again, that's a tale as old as time in the NFL. So then they restructured again. They hired Brian Callahan. Let me put this in quotes, promoted Rand from general manager to executive vice president / general manager. And they promoted Chad Brinker to president of football operations. And I said at the time, I'm like, well, clearly that's a demotion for Rand, right? Because before, Chad Brinker was his assistant general manager, and now Chad Brinker is his boss. He's the president. And I mean, I got people that were texting me that were like, you don't understand. I'm like, I don't understand. Somebody help me understand this. Somebody break this down for me. This doesn't make any sense. And then Chad Brinker introduced him at the draft press conference. And then somebody told me, well, why would that be crazy that the president would introduce the vice president and the coach? And I said, so wait a minute. Rand reports to Chad? They say, yeah. Huh? And then I was told, well, you know, other teams have this kind of stuff too. I go, who? Who? Well, you know, there are some sports teams in basketball and baseball that have. I said, I know the Orlando Magic. One of my best friends is like third in charge at Orlando. She's like, I think the director of player personnel. She's one of those kind of titles where whatever. They have a president. They have a GM. They have a CEO who's above those guys who stays out of basketball. But in basketball, they have a president and they have a GM. President calls the shots. But here, every time I bring this up or I say, well, you know, Brinker like was promoted above Rand, so does that mean Rand's really not calling the shots? I mean, people just scream and go crazy. And they're like, that's ignorant. And they're like, it's personal between you and Rand. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's not. In fact, if anything, I feel bad for Rand because, again, it sounds kind of like they demoted him. But again, when I say these things, it's just a Jared Stillman problem. It's like, oh, there goes Jared just stirring the pot, even though he's taking what should be an obvious ambiguity and asking for details about who's in charge. Because, again, when you lose in the NFL, it all of a sudden becomes like a who screwed up? He did. Not me. He did. Because like, they're only going to be able to blame John Robinson and Mike Vrabel for so long. And it's probably not going to last much past this week if they lose to Green Bay. So Diana Russini on her Scoop City podcast, the one she hosts with former quarterback Chase Daniel, they were talking about Brian Callahan and whether or not he's thinking about benching Will Levis or if he was going to bench Will Levis. And here's what Diana said.
I know he loves his quarterback. He said he loves his quarterback. But you have to wonder if behind closed doors, he's sitting with Rand Carthon Chad Brinker, the decision maker there, and going, if we want to win this year, we may have to consider this because this really? He's losing us games.
The decision maker there is Chad Brinker. Diana said that. And here's where this becomes an issue. Not because of what I said or locally or anything else. All anybody here cares about is whether or not the Titans win. And if the Titans lose, they're going to get mad at everybody. But that means that that's what the league thinks. The league thinks Chad Brinker's in charge. The league thinks Rand has been demoted. The league that's what the league thinks. If Diana's saying it, that's what the league thinks. And by the way, you know, somebody texted into the text line and said that Russini's a mouthpiece for Mike Vrabel. Right. But remember that, as Joe Rexroad pointed out, when Diana wrote the piece around Thanksgiving that Vrabel wasn't going to be fired, and a lot of people, not me, because I know how this works, but a lot of people thought, because we all know that Diana and Vrabel, you know, that we know the path. Joe got very defensive about Diana Russini. They both work at The Athletic. Joe got very defensive because a lot of people thought that Mike Vrabel was the one responsible for putting out this story that Mike Vrabel wasn't going to be fired. The problem is that, as Joe pointed out, the New York Times, who owns The Athletic, does not allow somebody to write a story. The editors do not clear that story if it does not come from somebody. The source has to be somebody who has the authority to be able to speak on Mike Vrabel's job status. Mike Vrabel does not have the ability to speak on Mike Vrabel's job status. Just like I don't have the ability to tell you if my show is getting canceled next week because I'm not in charge of my show being canceled. And then when Vrabel got fired, they had that whole anatomy of a firing in which there were a lot of details in there that pretty obviously came from Amy. Like the whole Amy was upset at Vrabel for the New England comments, that didn't come from Vrabel. That came from Amy. So Diana clearly has hooks in the organization, even if it's not, you know, as obvious as it was before with Vrabel. So you can say, oh, no, this is all a vindictive ex-coach who didn't want Rand in the first place, which last year you all told me every time I brought that up, you all told me I was stirring the pot and that Vrabel and Rand were working side by side and TD sat down with him and they said it was great and all of that. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, okay, that's okay. Again, I got a pretty good feel on Vrabel. And when Vrabel said, I didn't say anything about Levis starting before the Falcons game, I'm like, oh, boy. So, again, Diana's telling you, Chad Brinker's running the Titans. And if that's the case, they're doing Rand Carthon wrong, because what they're going to do, because this is the Titans, is they're going to blame him if they don't win this year. If they do win, they'll say, everybody did this together. If they lose, he'll be the scapegoat. I already see it coming. And again, it's not just a Jared Stillman problem anymore, because you got Diana saying it. So it's not just Jared stirring the pot. Jared's making stuff up. Jared's. Oh, okay. Justin says, just speculating, but if they promoted Brinker over Rand, does Brinker then become the one who's on the chopping block instead of Rand? Again, as we've learned with the Titans, it's always musical blame. It's always, I think the first guy on the chopping block is Levis, But if it's this bad for an entire season, like, again, I do not know what's going to happen if they lose to Malik. Because they could lose to Malik, and Amy could accept it that the team's not good, or that, well, we took a shot on the quarterback, and I'm the one who reportedly, wanted us to draft Levis, so put it on me, and let's go find another quarterback, and it's my fault, don't blame anybody else. Or she could haul off and fire somebody the way she did J-Rob. And again, I'm not her, so I don't know which one she would pick, so I don't know who she would throw under the bus for whatever that's worth. One texter says, Skoronski is the sixth captain this week because his dad played for Green Bay. That's weak! Exclamation point. I don't care who the sixth captain is. I do not care, and it could be Julius Chestnut for all I care, and it wouldn't. If that's why they picked Skoronski, because his dad played for Green Bay, and they're not even in Green Bay, like, that's not very good use of the sixth captaincy to me. I mean, for whatever that's worth. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Add that to the list, 615-737-1025, here on the program if you want to weigh in. Stillman and Company. And, again, coming up next on the program, we're going to do a lot of your phones on this. And be sure to tune into the Sounds tonight on 94.9 The Fan as they take on Norfolk with first pitch at 5:35. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
I look at my position as a position of ultimate service. I'm here to service our head coach, our general manager, and every single department head. You know, we're about creating leaders within our organization, empowering people to do their jobs. And my job is to help lift them up, give them the tools that they need to succeed in their roles. And I really look at it that way. That's what true leadership is service to others.
That was Chad Brinker. And again, Diana Russini came out on the Athletic Scoop City podcast and said, Chad Brinker's the chief decision maker for the Titans. I have one follow-up thing on the Brinker thing, and then I do have a Will Levis take I wanted to hit on. But let me say this, by the way, Ian, what do we make of this? So, you know, on Twitter, we have our show streaming live, as always, which, hi. But we're always putting it up there, and I'm always putting up the different topics. You know, what we're talking about. And then that way, if you want to click on Twitter, you just click it and watch it. Or maybe you're like, oh, Jared's talking about this. Let me flip it to 102.5.
Yeah, between your feed and the station feed, you should be able to find the stream pretty easily.
So, I put up, you know, Diana Russini says that Chad Brinker's the decision maker for the Titans. At 3:37, at Paul Kaharski, NFL replies, I mean, did you not understand the reorganization and the titles? But one thing that Twitter does do is it'll say when someone deletes a post, this post has been deleted. If you're watching the stream, I'm putting my phone up right now, and you can see that Kaharski has deleted this tweet. Ian, why do we think Paul Kaharski deleted the tweet?
I don't know.
I mean, again, Paul's basically saying when Diana says that Chad Brinker runs the organization, which I've been saying ever since that interview in the booth during the Seahawks game, which everybody got all up in my Kool-Aid about ever since then. And Paul's acting like, you don't understand. But then deleted it. I'm going to tell you why. Because I will say, I think that he deleted it because he didn't want to have to deal with everybody yelling at him, because I know what it's like to have everybody yell at you on this kind of stuff. The Levis take was, if they lose on Sunday, everybody will talk about them benching Will Levis. I don't think they're going to bench Levis, but I don't think that the people that say, give Levis the season, I don't think that's happening. Like, I do think there's a leash. I don't think it's Sunday, but I don't think it's the season. One texter says, do you fire the special teams coach if anything goes wrong? Anything. Punt, field goal, kick return, etc. Well, I'd have to see it in order to be able to, you know, tell you whether or not it's fireable. Let me just say this. If you get another punt blocked, you should be fired. And I don't know Cole Anderson from a jar of Vicks. He might be a great guy. In fact, I think I know somebody. I think I'm friends with somebody who's friends with him. And again, I think that's the case. And he might be a great guy. Like, he really might be a great guy. I have no idea. But if you're a special teams coach and you get a punt blocked in three straight games, you got to go. Like, you got to go. And so, yes, I'm not going to say if anything happens to you, fire the special teams guy. If you get a punt blocked on Sunday and you lose because of it, like, if you get a punt blocked, if you're Cole Anderson, and you get a punt blocked, like, say, in the second quarter, you better hope that you win the game. Because if you win the game, nobody ever gets fired. If you win the game, it's always great team effort, great job offensive line, great job defense, great job. But if you lose and it's three punt blocks, like, you should expect Brian Callahan to fire you the next day. And I do wonder this about Brian Callahan. Brian Callahan's a good man, and I will stand by that. But I wonder if Brian Callahan is ready to go into somebody's office and fire him. You know, I've never fired anybody in my life. I've never been in a position to fire anybody. But I understand that, like, hey, the people that do it, like, they get pretty good at it over time. And I wonder if Brian Callahan's ready to walk in there and say, pack it up, buddy. You know, I know we were boys in Cincinnati, but we've gotten punts blocked in three straight games. I got to do something about it. He'll tell you he is, because everybody always says they're ready to make the big decisions. But is he really ready to make the big decisions? And that I don't know. One texter into the text line says, just speculating. Oh, one texter into the text line says, why do you think the Titans have not spent more time trying to get turnovers on defense? I think we have to remember that the first game was the first game, but Aaron Rodgers, like, you're not going to trick Aaron Rodgers into something that you might be able to trick Malik into. As far as I'm concerned.
I was trying to think about that. Who has the better, bigger advantage? Malik knowing the Titans' defense and personnel and scheme versus the Titans' defense knowing Malik and his tendencies?
It's got to be the Titans' defense. The head coach coached him.
Yeah.
Like, it's the coach has to know more than the players.
Yeah.
And so it's got to be the defense.
Because I wonder, you know, because Malik's going to know, you know, the tendencies of the players and some of the plays, probably some of the schemes, what they do on this. Is he going to know, like, you know, the answers to some of that stuff versus what do the Titans defensive coaches know about the weaknesses of Malik and how they can take advantage of that? I'm interested to see.
Andrew says, if there's a block punt, I want Anderson immediately removed from the stadium by security. Do not hang around until the end. You're done. I mean, again, I am not advocating for this man's firing. And nobody gets in trouble for something they haven't done. But at some point, you got to be like, hey, man, three strikes and you're out. Three games, see ya. Like, you're out. Randy says, how does Brinker being in charge jive with Amy making it clear in January that Rand was in total charge of the roster? It's no wonder it's confusing. That's my whole point. Is that every day the narrative changed about, well, you know, other teams do this. I'm like, no, they don't. I know what the other teams do. The other teams have the president in charge. And then it's like, well, Rand reports to Chad. So wait a minute, Rand reports to Chad or Rand reports to Amy? Because that's kind of, well, Amy oversees everything. So it's, you see what I'm saying? And so when they keep with the ambiguity, it's like, okay. Who knows? One texter says, have you found DeAndre Hopkins? Because I haven't seen where he is. DeAndre's hurt, folks. And they're going to need to get that one figured out as well. All right, Chad Withrow will join us coming up next. This is the first college football game that I am truly excited about this season. Tennessee, Oklahoma, we'll get his thoughts on it. And, of course, we'll hit the Titans and we'll do the hot seat. Chad Withrow from Outkick joins us next. Stillman and Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Let's talk Fireball Whiskey. Nothing goes down better and tastes smoother than ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. There is no better way to ignite the night or to start your weekend than to do so with ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. I love Fireball, and you should too. Ignite the night, enjoy the weekend, and please do it responsibly. Be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey.